Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Happy Tuesday to you. Hope your week is off to a great start. Well, I am excited about today's show. We're going to dream together about living a more generous and powerful life. I want you to imagine with me having such confidence in God's divine supply that you live every day with open hands and you dare to respond to the nudge of the Holy Spirit within you. You dare to ask God, show me who needs what you've given me. Imagine the kind of adventure life would become. Well, my guest today writes this: when you choose to live a generous life, you start to change, and so does the world around you. Something incredible happens when giving becomes your own idea, not something you do out of duty or obligation. When you move from awareness to action, listen to this, miracles happen. As you make giving a lifestyle, you realize that you're not only loving life more, you're also creating a more generous world, a better world for all of us. Brad Formsma joins me today. He's the author of the book, I Like Giving, and we're going to get him on in just a moment. Just want to let you know we've got a great Faith Radio promotion going on right now. If you need a new Bible, the New Living Translation, I love that one. That's one of the several that I have out every morning in my prayer time. We're giving away copies, and you can sign up to win one at myfaithradio.com. It's the New Living Translation Study Bible. It's a great Bible. If you just feel like your devotional time needs a jump start, go to our website, myfaithradio.com. Okay, let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get this conversation started. Brad Formsma is the creator of ilikegiving.com. It's a website viewed in more than 165 countries, which inspires people to live generously through short films and offers a platform for all to share their experiences in giving. He and his wife, Laura, have three children and live in Grand Rapids, Michigan. You can learn more about him on the web at ilikegiving.com. Brad, welcome to the show. Glad to have you with us today.
Thank you.
Looking forward to the conversation. So we start every show on Live the Promise with every guest asking about Scripture, wondering if you either have a life verse that you'd like to share or just maybe a verse that's been popping off the page at you these days.
Well, when I think about that verse that says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed, I can't get away from that one. And I think that goes way beyond the refreshing that many people would go to right away when they think about refreshing. They might think about money. And yet I think there's such a bigger, broader message there. And I found that true in my own life. And I like to just stay on that. And I like to live it out.
Well, when you say it goes beyond money, talk about just some of the ways, and we'll unpack this throughout the show, but just initial tangible ways that you found your soul to be refreshed by living a more generous lifestyle.
Well, I think that when I think about giving, I think about time, I think about a smile, I think about listening. It could be just a gentle touch of someone, letting them know you're there and that you care about them. And it's just this part of giving your life away throughout the day. And so that's not always handing out $20, $100 bills, could be, but I just see such a deeper richness to the word. And I just really like to encourage people to think far beyond money when we think about giving.
Yeah. Just having our eyes open, our ears attuned, and our heart awakened to really what the needs are and how God wants to use us from moment to moment. I really do love that. Love to know how God first planted this idea of giving in your heart.
It really goes back to my early teenage years. And my parents, we were a normal three-kid family, and I thought we were done. I was about mowing lawns, and we were starting to talk about family vacations and different things that we were going to do. But the Lord had a different plan, and one day, this is back in the 80s now, but my mom came home with an ultrasound, and this was towards the end of her pregnancy, and there were two babies inside, and that meant we were going to go from 3 to 5, and little did I know that life would really change fast. And so our plans of doing more vacations and being more active, we really ended up staying closer to home. And I ended up changing diapers and really growing up fast, but it was chaos, okay? And so I was looking for ways to escape, and I found that with my grandfather. He was a successful businessman. He had a commercial bakery. And outside of the private office part of his business, he had a small little bakery where he just would crank out 16 loaves on a Saturday, and he'd bring them to shut-ins, or he'd bring them to people of wealth, or he'd bring them to just a regular middle-class person. And sometimes they would have a financial need, and he would bring that with the bread. But other times he would just bring the gift of presents or the gift of a kind word along with the bread, of course. It was kind of his signature gift. And I just saw him model taking those Saturdays, just even for 2 or 3 hours in the afternoon, to invest into other people's lives who weren't out and about and being active, or who maybe just he felt needed some encouragement. And so that's really where it started for me.
Wow, that's powerful. And I love the quote from your book. It says, "Giving is good, and God often brings it back to you so you can do it again." You said your grandpa said that. I think that's powerful.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Wow, I love that. So let's get some backstory. So when you were newly married and you became a businessman and you were had an essence of faith, but really you kind of were all bored on the all-American dream, start there and just talk about what those early years of marriage were like.
Well, my wife and I often say we've been married 20 years, 15 happy. And those first five were us really sorting out what our heartbeat was, what our desires were, what our faith perspective would be. And it's just something that it just took some time to sort out. When you're enterprising like I am and you're out making money and your business things are happening, you can start to think that maybe you're doing this on your own and that somehow when you get to a certain level, you'll reap some satisfaction. And so in the process of that, I found myself making some unwise business decisions in order to try to get more. Some people would call that leverage. And that tends to be presumptuous because it involves debt. And so that put some pressure on our marriage. And when my son was born, when I was 28, our first son, it was really in a moment where we started hanging around with some other friends, and this one friend just had a piece in his life that was attractive to me. And again, I think so often our faith or our view of God, if you will, comes from our observation of him working in someone else's life. Mm-hmm. And that was really attractive. I remember thinking there's some peace about his life that I want and I don't have. In fact, I remember him trying to get the hitch off of his car. We were going to go get a boat picked up from someplace, and it wasn't coming out. And he just jokingly said, "You know, you will submit to my will." And I'm thinking, I wouldn't be saying that. I know some other things I'd be saying to the hitch that's not cooperating. And it's just a different way that he was approaching life. And oh well, it's just a hitch. And so as time went on and our business grew, we just found ourselves longing for something more. And I always say giving is a journey. And by the way, we're on it. We haven't arrived. We've discovered some things that we felt like we wanted to share with other people, because in a small environment before writing a book, we found that people were really encouraged by some of our stories.
Yeah.
So I don't ever want the listener or anyone who reads our book to think, oh, they figured it out and they're telling us how. No, it's just really, we're just passing through, and we thought we'd share some great stories and some of our story.
Yeah, I appreciate that so much. And, you know, I thought it was so interesting how you had a kind of a measure of faith, but then you had children. And so often children do kind of inspire us to a more seriousness in our faith. And so you're walking with these friends from church and really recognizing. And I remember reading, you said you just in the car, I think you said you recommitted your life to the Lord, really resurrendered to him in a new way. But still, finances were sort of a separate part. And I thought right there is such a picture of how we can compartmentalize our faith. Many, many do this. Many Christians do, where they would consider themselves all-in believers, except for the finance piece. Talk about why you think that is.
Well, I think that we live in a culture that spends $500 billion a year, from what I hear, marketing and messaging us on filling a hole that really can't be filled any other way. And, you know, there's this idea that it's better to give than get, or depending on if you pull it out of a different translation, more blessed to give than receive. But it's a timeless idea. And the idea really I have found to be profoundly true. And I think a lot of people haven't experienced that truth. I think that's why I wanted to jump into action early on in the book. It's why I bring the reader early on to say, I could explain joy to you and take a good crack at it over a day or over multiple chapters, but until you experience the joy from actually going out and giving and it being your idea, I'm going to be kind of talking in the fog with you. And so I have set out to encourage the reader to engage in an activity where they actually have, there's a saying in the book on page 34 or a prayer that just says, Lord, help me see the need. Help me have the courage to step out because I want to experience the joy of giving. And I think that many people haven't experienced the joy of giving ever or in a long time.
Yeah.
And so.
Go ahead. Sorry.
And so I really feel like when you ask me why is that, I just don't think they understand that it's truly better to give than get. And giving seems kind of backwards. Wait a minute. I need to save for the future. I have expenses tomorrow. Why would I release what I've accumulated in order to accomplish this goal that I have? And so it's backwards. And yet it works.
Yeah. It's amazing. You know, I mean, I've been there too in the years past. I mean, giving is just a very big part of our lives as well. And that's why I love this message. But when you step back and you think about it from a broader perspective, it's like we are willing to trust God with our eternity, with where we're spending forever, but not with our immediate need and with our finances. And so that's interesting when you look at it from a bigger perspective. And God loved us so much that he gave. And so it's in his DNA and thus in our DNA to be givers. And so I don't think we can fully mature or even fully experience the joy God has until we engage in a generous life where we become flow-through accounts of God's blessing. So I want to jump in. So here you are, you're a successful businessman, you recommit your life to the Lord, but then there's a point where you start to realize just the amazing journey of being generous. What was the catalyst to that change? And then we'll unpack some of the stories from your book.
Well, it really feels like it's been such a process, as I mentioned earlier. I never would want someone to think, I got the nudge to give. We're going to give to this ministry or this person without getting a tax benefit or this church, and then I'm done. I've kind of checked the box, and I've got that out of the way. I've moved on. I really want the listener and the reader to think in terms of God loves a cheerful giver. In fact, it's the only place in the New Testament where he tells us what he loves. And so this goes back then to what are we purposing in our heart? And I want to get to your question, but I feel such a strong burden to share that when I think about a lot of givers, and I've interacted with a ton of them over the last 8 years, many are really stuck under a duty and an obligation and sometimes coercion or what have you. And that's just not a healthy place to be around giving. But if they can look at it from this perspective in Corinthians, and they can look at the fact that God loves a cheerful giver, it's like he's trying to get something to us, not from us. I think that will help someone maybe step out and seek him and then move into what they would be inclined to give and to step out in faith. It's a step of faith. Just like you mentioned earlier, your eternal decision to trust God for eternity, that's a step of faith, and so is giving. It's a step of faith.
Yeah, I'm talking to Brad Forsma today. We've got 5 copies of his book, I Like Giving, Practical Ideas, Inspiring Stories. I would love to hear from you. How were you impacted by somebody else's act of generosity towards you? We'd love to hear the story. If you get on the air to share your story, you'll get a copy of Brad's book. Lots of inspiring stories of just stepping out and making yourself available and seeing what God does. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Well, you open up the book, I Like Giving, by telling a story of a woman named Tracy who gets an unexpected visitor on Thanksgiving Day. Would love to just have you share that story.
Sure. Well, Tracy is a single mom. She has one child and one on the way. They're living in an apartment complex. And Thanksgiving's approaching. In fact, Thanksgiving's just right around the corner within days. And income is really, really tight. And she recognizes that it's going to be canned food from the pantry nearby, and that's just what it's going to be this Thanksgiving. And so she gathered those things up the day before Thanksgiving and said, well, this is where we're living. This is just the way it is. Thanksgiving morning rolls around, and there's a tap on the door, and a local restaurant is standing there ready to deliver the huge spread. I mean, all the works, the turkey, the trimmings, all you could ever imagine in your mind about what Thanksgiving dinner should be. And they come in, and they set it down on the table, and they're heading for the door, and she's stunned, speechless. And yet right when they're leaving, she gets to him and said, you know, can you tell me? And they said, no, it's just an anonymous gift. Someone noticed that you could really use this at Happy Thanksgiving. And they left. And she was undone. Happy tears. And throughout the day, just reflective of how much this had touched her. Someone had noticed her need and made a decision to step out and act and do something about it. And she purposed that day, I am going to start living generously today, which is really important in the middle of this story for me to say, so many times we think we should start giving when the sun comes out and we've got margin and it's just a better time. And so back to the story now, Tracy is a nurse. She's got her feet on the ground. She's moved out of this apartment complex. And she's taking care of an elderly woman named Margot. Now, Margot is in the final stages of MS, and it won't be much longer before she passes on. And the last day that Tracy and Margot are together, they kind of connect the dots that maybe they used to live in the same apartment complex. Then they realize, yeah, we did. We lived actually on the same floor. Oh, wow, that's so amazing. Right before Tracy went to leave and they were saying their goodbyes, Margot reached out and grabbed her hand and said, Happy Thanksgiving. And it was at that moment that Tracy realized it was all those years ago that it was Margot who had saw her need and called that restaurant, made that delivery. And it was Margot who put into motion the generosity ripple, I like to call it, that affected Tracy's life and how it's affecting Tracy's children's lives because their mom's living generously and they think living generously is a normal thing. And so you think in terms of the power of one gift, and that's what we call that chapter, because we never know when the one thing that we do will affect the trajectory of so many people's lives for the good. Of course, we could dive into that further and think in terms of, well, if I don't respond, what may I not be helping put into motion?
Mm. So good. Love to hear from you. If you've been impacted by somebody else's generosity, boy, the power of a gift given, it's amazing. It does set a whole story in motion. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Tell me your story of somebody who's been kind to you. You get a copy of Brad's book, I Like Giving. Kelly's on the line calling in from Farmington, Minnesota. Kelly, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in January of this year, and within 3.5 weeks, I had 3 surgeries, which culminated in a mastectomy. And I was just, I've never been so impacted with the giving that people provided for me through this 2-month journey. We had over 40 consecutive meals delivered to my family. I had well over 100 cards that came in the mail. We had over $2,000 in cash gifts, over $1,000 in just gift cards. I was thinking as you were talking, too, just the gifts of people texting or just letting me know that they were praying for me, things on Facebook that they were praying. And even though it probably could have been one of the most devastating times in my life, I woke up every day feeling so blessed and lucky that it was hard to feel bad about it. Just the love and the giving and the outpouring was so overwhelming that I got through it pretty well. And I'm glad to say through the surgery I'm cancer free. And I just, I would not go back and undo it because of the way we were just blown away by everyone's reaching out to us and just their giving.
Kelly, that is such a great story, and I was going to ask you how your health is, and boy, you're going to get a copy of Brad's book, and it will set something in motion for you as well, but we celebrate your story. Thank you for calling
yes.
today.
Thank you.
Brad, did you want to comment at all?
I just want her to know that I'm sorry for how that started out, and yet I often think that the line between giving and receiving disappears. And those that saw an opportunity to give into her life and family and situation, I think they were able to experience great joy. And quite frankly, it sounds like you did a great job receiving. Some of us aren't so good at that, and yet you really touched me with that story. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, Kelly, thank you so much. And one of the lines in your book, it says, every time we give, a story begins. I think we just pause for a minute and think about that. Every time we give, a story begins. And that is just so powerful. I remember as a young mom, our kids are grown now, but battling a disease, so much medical debt, no money for groceries, wondering how in the world are we going to even, you know, give our kids their next meal. We were in dire straits. And somebody rang the doorbell and ran, and there were groceries on our front step. And it was God's provision through somebody who responded to the nudge. And that story began, and it showed me my hope is in God. But, you know, I remember who said this quote, Brad, but he said, God meets the needs of the world through his friend. And I love that. I think that's so great. Yeah.
Love that.
You know, we just have a moment before we take a break. But off the top of your head, tell me a time about that you were on the receiving end of somebody's generosity that impacted you.
Well, boy, several stories come to mind. I'm trying to think about which one would be short, but I really go back to my grandfather. And when I graduated from high school, he had given me a little bit amount of money. And what that did was it allowed me to get a little truck and begin this process of starting a business. And it wasn't enough money where I would just be able to sit home. It wasn't even enough to pay for the whole truck. But he saw and believed in my drive and knew that there was no way that I was going to be able to save up that first $5,000 to get a few things rolling. And he took a chance. And I think sometimes when we give, we don't know what the outcome is going
to
be.
Have to jump in right there. Have to jump in right there. Every time we give, a story begins. Want to hear from you, 877-933-2484. More with Brad Forbesma in just a moment. Love that song. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Brad Formsma today about the whole idea of cultivating a generous lifestyle, being a giving person, a flow-through account of God's blessing. His book is titled, I Like Giving, The Transforming Power of a Generous Life. It's full of practical ideas and inspiring stories, asking you to call with times you've just really been impacted by someone else's generosity. We've got a handful of copies to give away, 877-933-2484. We've got Lisa calling in from White Bear Lake. Lisa, welcome.
Hi, Susie. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, how are you today?
Great, thank you. Say, I just wanted to share a story about a time when our family was the recipient of some major generosity. And my husband actually a few years ago took a job that we both felt God really called him to do, but it meant a major drastic reduction in pay. And he actually works on 100% commission. And so our income can go up and down, and we have a large family, four kids, two of whom have ongoing health issues, so a lot of medical debt. And there was a time this fall where things were really tight. Our cabinets were empty. Our fridge was empty. And, you know, the pressure was just kind of, it felt like it was caving in a bit. And one afternoon I was folding laundry, and I got a knock on the back door, and it was some friends of ours. And I've since coined the term Costco bombed. Hmm. And they Costco bombed us. They came in with just, they had a trunk full of food, and they filled our freezers, filled our fridge, filled our cabinets. And it was just an amazing, amazing thing.
I love that story, and I love the term. Let's start a Costco bomb revolution. That's amazing.
That's right. Yes. And we have since been able to Costco bomb another family, as, you know, we were just so inspired by their generosity that we wanted to do the same.
Lisa, you have such a beautiful heart. I love, first of all, your support of your husband for him to take such a drastic step, because we as women are so drawn to wanting to feel secure. But then to see God's provision for you. God bless you, dear sister. Thanks for sharing that. And Brad, did you want to say anything to Lisa?
I love it. In fact, if you go to ilikegiving.com, we have over 11 now short giving stories, 3, 4, 5, 6 minute stories that are all varying stories, whether they're a 5 and 7 year old girl going out and to do something, or they're a 98 year old lady taking her neighbor to the grocery store every week. But I'm thinking, we need to do I Like Costco bombing, and we need to capture that story.
That's amazing.
I love it.
I do too. Lisa, thank you so much for your call, and you're going to love Brad's book. Okay, we've got Jennifer calling in from Blaine, Minnesota. Jennifer, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to share a story. This happened a number of years ago, but I was a single mom, and I was struggling, and I felt so alone. And I would pray and ask God to, you know, bring help and deliverance. And I had a vision of how I thought it would come. And I remember praying in church by myself, and a little old lady came up to me, and she just didn't say a word, but she stuck. I knew it was cash in my hand. And without looking at her or anything, I just wept, because I knew God saw me. Mm-hmm. And when I got home, I unfolded, and it was only like $5. And I'm thinking, Lord, you know, I thought it was going to come this way, but, you know, it was $5. But I remember that being a turning point in my life, because God saw me. And I don't remember what I did with the $5 or how I met, you know, made ends meet. But I know that that was a turning point in my faith walk, because if God saw me and he prompted a woman to put cash in my hands, he would handle everything else.
Oh.
And he did. And so I now, no matter how small the gift is, I do it, because that might just be what a person needs to lift their spirits.
Mm, Jennifer, great story. And that woman who gave you that money reminds me of the widow's mite. It's just, and that is so great. Brad, did you want to say anything to Jennifer?
Oh, thank you for sharing that with us. Love it.
Nah, great story. And it goes, hers, you know, her faith was encouraged because a woman took the step. And don't you think one of the things that keeps us from giving is maybe the smallness of what we have to give? We think, oh, that won't make a difference. But that's proof that $5 made a very big difference, isn't it?
Yes.
Hmm. Okay, so we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. It says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And I like the message paraphrase. It says it this way. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over. Make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. And I love that because it's not this emotional reaction that's hasty that you sort of go, what did I just do? Or a kind of a grudging arm twisting. Talk about what you've learned about that. And we talk about this on the show a lot, about the difference between the ought to's and should do's and the get to's. But share a little bit about, you know, what you've learned around that passage as far as how God leads us to give.
Sure. Well, I like to think about giving in the light of, am I thinking obligation or am I thinking opportunity? And I think that when I contrast those two and I think about the opportunity to enter into something that, whether it's the $5 that we just heard about and what that puts into motion, or when I give that $5, something's happening in my heart. I say 100% of the time when I give, I take the focus off of Brad and onto somebody else. And that's a really, really good thing. And that's something that I need to wake up thinking about. And when I think about giving and how I used to view it, I used to get a lot of, being in business and having given to different places, I'd get a lot of different white envelopes that would come in. And that works. And I'm not saying that white envelopes are bad, bad, bad things. But for me, what was happening is they would go in next to the electric bill and the gas bill and the food bill and the mortgage. And when I would go to pay my bills, I was just paying those. And I started looking at my giving as an expense. And it just didn't, it just wasn't working for me because I was over in that obligation, because I don't give money to the gas company because I decided to do it in my heart. I'm doing it out of obligation. And so I feel like I've needed to move away from saying, when I get those white envelopes or there's organizations or where we give to today or even an immediate need that comes our way, my wife and I really like to talk about it together. That's been part of our own journey of wanting to be unified. And so if you're married, I think that's the highest and best way to do this, because we come together and we sense different things in the process. So for us, it was just taking a little pause and helping ourselves get a perspective shift and ultimately a perspective change that was in line with the passage that you just read.
And making ourselves available in ways that are more than writing out a check. Writing out a check is an important thing if God's calling you to do that, but making yourself available to be part of a necessary miracle is just so powerful. I remember a time my hubby and I went on a date. We call it missionary dating. Just once in a while we'll go out and just look for something to give away to do. And we went to a McDonald's and we went up to the counter and said, we'd like to buy ice cream cones for everybody in the play area. And she didn't know what to do with us. And she's looking back and forth like, oh, you know, we just messed her night up so bad, because she couldn't figure out what to do with it. So she went back and forth. She counted. She came back. And she starts to make these ice cream cones and they're all melting. It was like a miserable failure because we're like, no, how about if you count and then we'll pay for them and we'll help you make them. And it didn't go well. I mean, we fed as many people as we could, but it was embarrassing. We left and we thought, okay. So then we thought, we're going to a grocery store. We're going to pay for somebody's groceries. And that was a blast. But there's times where it doesn't always go the way you think it will go. But that's okay too, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I always say, if you do this long enough, and you're good, it's, some of them aren't going to work out or it's going to get messy. And yet in that process, I think that we learn about ourselves, and we learn that sometimes we end up giving the gift of inconvenience, even if we didn't plan it.
Yeah. Bless her heart. I think it was so off her grid. She was like, now what do I do with this and where do I go? But it's okay. We had a good laugh about it, and people got ice cream cones who looked totally confused. So, you know, you can get wise along the way, I guess. Tell your story, Brad, about the bicycles.
So in 2008, I went down to get a newspaper from where we keep them at the end of the street, and it's the first weekend of Memorial Day. Memorial Day in Michigan is the beginning of summer, and as you know, being where you're located, we like to take in these days because there's this thing called winter that happens. Mm. And so we're all excited, and the water parks are opening, and sun is out, and I get the newspaper, and there's a picture of a Sudanese father and son. And the article goes on to say that they have had their bikes stolen. Now, they were refugees. They came over. They had been firebombed and had been through a really bad situation. I understood they lost some of their relatives and friends in this process. So here they are in America, the land of the free, and they have bikes on their at their home and clothes on their back, and that's kind of it in the possession department. They live in a quadplex, and there's a picture of them, as I mentioned, and there's a little green hose reel on the front of this quadplex that they're staying at, and their bikes were stolen. And so the dad would use the bike to go to work, but now he couldn't get to work, and Tuesday was coming because Monday was a holiday. And I just thought, this is not right. So I brought it in. We, at the time, my oldest was 10, and we just had a little family talk. We read the article. And in that reading of the article, I said, what should we do? And my oldest son said, oh, we got to go get them bikes. And I'm like, you're right. Must be the day to talk about Costco. Mm. And so we went to Costco, and we headed over there. We got a couple bikes. And then we headed out on this wild goose chase. And then we realized we don't really know where we're going. They're connected to this church, but if you try to call into a big church on a Sunday morning, that is not something I'd recommend. And well, we finally got through. And when we did, the person gave us a little bit of direction, but not much. And in fact, it was very, very vague. He said, give the bikes to Wheels for Jesus. I said, no, this isn't about Wheels for Jesus. I want to model generosity to my kid, and this guy's got to go to work in a few days. And so I never did look to see if that's actually a group, Wheels for Jesus. It sounds kind of catchy. Anyway, we found these people after driving around all afternoon, and all the dad could say is, I like bike, I like bike, I like bike. And so we left. We're like, okay, cool. And we got out of there. And my wife said to me as we were leaving, I just thought that front yard was going to be full of bikes. I just kept hearing this tape play in my head. You're so stupid. So many other people are going to see this opportunity. In fact, I understood the circulation to be in the hundreds of thousands. And I think that we should be aware of this reality that we do get assignments to participate in ways to do things for other people. And I'm really glad that we took that assignment serious and did it and didn't think, oh, well, somebody else is going to handle that. And so from that time, that was a great Sunday afternoon. That following morning, my oldest son said to me, Dad, that was way better than going to the water park. And for me, that day was when the more blessed to give than receive, or better to give than get, really came alive. And I thought, that's really true. He's experiencing this truth. And at 10 years of age, you're really thinking water parks are where it's at and water slides, and that's just nothing wrong with that. But for him to have experienced the joy from giving there really was inspiring to me. And so as we would tell this story around the country, people started coming back to us with their own I like giving stories. And it would be, I like you fill in the blank. I like Taco Bell. I like Costco. I like Down Coats. You name it. And that's how things got rolling.
Do you have any other just standout stories from the book that are especially close to your heart?
Well, I certainly do. My youngest daughter, is her name's Grace, and she's now 8. There's a story called I Like Sparkly Nail Polish. And Grace had gotten a little money together and had gone to Target with my wife. and they were going to get sparkly nail polish that day. And as they approached the display, there were two girls in front of them, a little bit older, and they were having a conversation back and forth, realizing that the Kim Kardashian, you know, nail polish was more than they thought. And Gracie reached over to my wife, and she just said, let's give them the money. And so my wife pulled out $10, which is what she was going to spend for her own sparkly nail polish, and they gave it to these girls. And the girls were dumbfounded, couldn't believe it. Like, really? Should we even take this? And no, we don't want you to have it. And so Grace and Laura walked away, and they did some other shopping. And on the way home, Gracie said, oh, I can't wait to tell Dad and the boys my high of the day, because at the dinner table, we go around and do that high-low thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so she told us this, and what dawned on me was that she never got the sparkling nail polish that she came for. And I think that it's a good picture of how powerful giving is. We think we need something so bad, and yet there's this thing that happens in our hearts when we give and we take it off of us and onto somebody else. She forgot about the sparkly nail polish, and they never actually went back and got it. So it wasn't like they waited a day and then went and got it again. It was just kind of something that seemed to be so important, and yet when she gave it away, it lost any kind of grip. And that was really encouraging to me.
You know, it's so amazing, too, if grandparents are listening today. I just think one of the greatest things you can do with your grandkids is to take them with you, like Bob's grandpa did, and let them see you and be a part of you giving to somebody who can't pay you back. And just these random acts of kindness, of just being flow-through accounts of God's blessing, that really will change our kids' culture, I think. And in fact, I've said this on the show before, Brad, but I read an article that was saying that they did a study. I don't remember who they were, but someone did a study on kids, you know, so many of the 20-somethings walking away from the faith. And when they've kind of followed through, what they've found is the kids that are most apt to stick with the faith are those who in youth group were taught the Word of God and given opportunities to give and serve. And so the big smoke screens and all the great things that draw kids in might get them in the door, but might most likely may not keep them in the faith, where it's engaging their faith where they're giving and serving and they're learning the Word of God. And to me, this is such a practical way to engage with kids in a way that will change them, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think that this is family tree material. This is legacy material. This is really where it's at. And so often parents will say, well, how do I teach my kids to give? And the answer is so simple. You begin to model it. And don't be afraid to have the conversation. It's one of the reasons we created ILikeGiving.com. It's a place where you could go and watch as a family a short giving story. That will tee up the conversation. When you get done watching it, you could simply ask, what stood out to you? Or you could read a story out of the book and ask that same question, what stood out to you? And you're going to get input from other kids and your spouse, hopefully yourself as well. And you're going to be able to have a conversation around this all-important topic. You know, we have really gotten amazing feedback from people, whether it's through Amazon or just sending notes into the website, where they've said things like, my gosh, I can already see the hearts of my kids changing. One grandma sent a note in and said, my granddaughter keeps saying, Grandma, will you read me another story from that book that has dots on it? Because our book has some multiple different color circles and dots on it. Many people have said, gosh, this is just a book that inspires the joy of giving without the guilt trip. And, you know, we put stories in the book that involve money, that involve time, that involve a gesture. Some of the stories are from a giver. Some of them are from a receiver. We have a whole chapter on family, because we realize as a family, we begin to have more and more conversations. I say to parents and grandparents, one of the best gifts you can give your kids is to tell them where you give and why. But I also go on in the book to say, now, I understand. They're not going to understand dollars and big amounts or what have you. So you could have the conversation at an 8-year-old level or a 12-year-old level or a 15-year-old level, but there's something really powerful about it. Remember back to the beginning of our conversation when my grandpa said, God often brings it back to you so you can do it again. Hmm. Well, it was in that conversation that he showed me an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. And it had all these different organizations and people that he had given money to. I would love, 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 love to see that piece of paper today. Why? Because it would tell me more about him. It would tell me where his treasure was, because that would tell me where his heart is. And I haven't been able to track down that piece of paper, but it was just something that made me want to encourage other parents and grandparents to say, hey, not that you're going to potentially leave an inheritance and you expect your kids to give exactly where you gave, but if you can just tell them, we give over here and this is why this is important to us, it just gives more context. And then when people come around from those organizations or ministry or church and your kids or grandkids observe that, they'll have more context to why that person's coming and presenting the opportunity beyond, oh, they're here to get money from grandpa or they're here to get money from mom and dad.
Yeah. Well, we just have a moment here left before we can pray. And I've just love for you just to say a final word about how this whole generosity lifestyle is so unique to each of us, because we each have our own sphere of influence. We each have needs before us, and we each have gifts and things that we're able to give that are just so unique to us. Just say a word about that before we wrap up.
Well, we all have opportunities daily, weekly, monthly to do for other people. And I just encourage people to step out and take the courage and do that. We'd love it if they would share with us at ilikegiving.com. I Like Giving does not ask for money. We're privately funded by a few people who just believe in the power of giving stories. We don't advertise on our website. It's a safe, pure place for people to come, and churches download our content all the time. It's free. It's open sourced. We create it. Hey, when you have a name like I Like Giving, the only thing we charge for is a book, and you can only understand that. You have a publisher. That's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
We create these stories to inspire other people. We just encourage people to go out and create their own and then share them with us.
That's great. Well, Brad, as we wrap up, wondering if you pray for that person listening today, that God would just give them the faith and that they would take the action that God's asking them to. Would you pray?
Yes, Lord, we just come for you today, and we say, we want to experience the joy that comes from giving. Help us to recognize it when it comes our way, that giving opportunity, and give us the courage to jump in and give. Amen.
Amen. Brad, thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me on.
God bless you, sir. The title of his book, again, is I Like Giving.
Children were made for the
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. You can find a podcast of today's show up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Be sure to sign up for the New Living Translation Bible. Maybe you'll win one. Up next, tomorrow, I should say, on Live the Promise, I'll be talking to Jennifer Dukes-Lee about the approval addiction and how really we start to see ourselves as God sees us. It's going to be a great show. That's tomorrow. And Everyday Relationships is up next.